The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for the representative nearest you.
Welcome to the closing market report for Wednesday, November 29th, 2006. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In agricultural news, the U.S. says it will seek to disbar Australia's AWB Limited wheat monopoly. Also, Vietnam will officially join the WTO next month, and President Bush has made a nomination for Undersecretary for Farm and Agricultural Services. I'll have details of these and other stories this half hour, and Todd Gleason will be by to discuss wind energy in Illinois. It's all on the Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. December wheat, 522 and a quarter, up 3 3/4. March, 541 and a half, up 5 1/2. December wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 490 and a half, up 3 1/4. March, 511 and a half, up 3 1/2. May, 516, up 3 1/2. December corn, 370 and a quarter, up 1 1/2. March, 385 and a quarter, up 1/2. May, 390, down 3/4. December, 360 and 3/4, down 2. January soybeans, 682 and a quarter, down 4. March, 696, down 3 1/2. May, 704, down 4 1/2. Novies, 727 and a half, down 3 3/4. December soybean meal, 193.60, down 220. December soybean oil, 28.98, up 22. At the Merck, January feeders, 97.95, down 62.5. December live cattle, 85.20, down 117.5. December lean hogs, 61.25, up 7.5 on the day. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, the futures in Chicago's wheat pit managed a turnaround today after a weak tone this morning clawed their way into positive territory. To what do we owe the late-day strength?
Well, one of the things, there is very definitely large anticipation of deliveries in the wheat market, and we are looking at some moisture, and definitely we're looking at crop ratings continuing to drop, and of course that's the one realm of possibility. It's also recognized that the Chinese are offering wheat and as sales into their domestic market, and as a direct result of that, we did see a rally into the wheat market from basically oversold conditions. The financial condition of a Chinese trading companies that have oversold corn into the world market, and the rally into the prices have rallied considerably higher in their domestic market, has almost caused a scandal or a financial crisis in some of the grain trading parts of China. As a result of that, it's hard to believe any story out of that country right now because of the financial crisis that is in their grain trading capital. A few years ago, they bought too many beans at $10 and the market dropped and caught them holding the bag, and this time they sold too much corn at too cheap a price and the prices are substantially higher. and it did affect the U.S. sales of beans to that country and beans out of South America. This time it's 180 degrees different. The other end users in the world have bought corn and can't get delivery, and so basically the only reliable, stable market in the world is the U.S. market, and this is quite positive. The other factor is the market, I don't think there was a friendly voice in the marketplace. They were all looking at temporary tops and seasonal breaks and elevator selling of basis corn, you name it, and it was happening, and the market did make a good U-turn today, and the deliveries are still supposed to be high in the wheat market. So it is a good close today in the wheat, and it happened at basically Minneapolis, Chicago, and Kansas City.
Corn did well today, too, and there was probably some good fundamental news for why. You look at crude oil as well as the cold snap coming.
Yeah, crude oil up $1.49 inventory, and, of course, the leading market tool, ethanol, into energy market and buying corn and making it all happen. The marketplace is basically, excited about all the new plants that are coming on stream. The bear is trying to beat the drum that there's going to be too many acres of new crop corn being planted, and also basically we'll price ourselves out of several markets. But the factor is the market did close pretty good, and after a lot of bearish news, I think this China thing is a big factor. A lot of elevators are selling hedged grain in the marketplace. They bought corn early in the summertime at 40 and 50 cents under the December contract, and now they're getting some good carry in the marketplace. This kind of basis play is going on. There's also concern about the country elevators running out of hedge money if the corn does move to $5 plus sometime in the next 6 to 9 months. So it is prudent, and we are seeing some orderly cash movement in the cash corn market.
Seems like you're of a mindset that March corn still has a shot at that $4 level.
Well, that, and also I think that near as we can tell, particularly if these Chinese rumors are correct, it probably means a carryover of closer to $700 million instead of something higher. And it also, we continue to get reports that not only people have sold most of their old crop corn, but sold 60 to 80 bushels an acre of new crop corn with very little price protection, if any, and want to sell some more. And, we wonder where they're getting their economic strategies from, because it just doesn't add up with the demand we're seeing in old crop corn, domestic usage, as well as the export market, and also this tremendous demand for more production next year. And it just a couple of little problems in the world production, and we could see the corn market really explode into next year as well.
Your soybean analysis?
Well, granted, for every acre of corn we have extra, we'll have probably that much less production of soybeans in the U.S. The soybeans are being planted in South America under fairly good condition, but we know that they didn't plant as many acres, and we know they didn't get as much fertilizer and lime on. And we do know the Chinese seem to have a good appetite for soybean meal. The general factor is that crush margins are good. The soybean farmer probably has a little more inventory than the corn farmer has as far as inventory, but the market didn't close very low, and actually commodities and commodities in general are still quite positive in the marketplace.
So let me put you on the spot for the cash side then, because we are getting toward the end of the year, and you've always said trend is your friend. Follow the trend, don't do too much. But tax man is coming. What kind of advice would you have for those who followed your advice and didn't do much of anything up to this point?
Well, one of the times, a person does have to do some orderly marketing, and I'd probably do it in the soybeans first. And as far as the corn's concerned, any sales of new crop should be protected by bull call spreads, protection on the new crop. As far as the old's concerned, hopefully you've made enough money in your commodity futures account to take care of any cash flow needs and just hold on to the cash corn at this time.
And a quick analysis over at the Merck, please.
The Mercantile Exchange continues to be interesting in the fact that we are seeing enough cattle nearby, and even with this record shopping and a runaway stock market and good commodities, the general feeling is we do have enough cattle in the marketplace to handle the near-term prices. At some point in time, we are extremely bullish on deferred cattle and deferred hogs, because we do think that the weights will drop with the higher-priced corn.
Thank you much, Paul.
Have a profitable day.
Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Paul joins us every Wednesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report. A winter storm watch has been issued for much of central Illinois effective Thursday afternoon through Friday afternoon. In the WILO severe weather coverage area, the watch includes Champaign, Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Logan, Macon, McLean, Moultrie, Piatt, Sangamon, Shelby, and Vermilion counties. A winter weather advisory is in effect for a portion of western Illinois from Wednesday evening through Thursday morning, and a winter storm watch for much of southern and southwestern Illinois from Thursday morning through late Thursday night. Stay tuned to AM 580 for the latest information on winter watches and warnings. In agricultural news, Australian Prime Minister John Howard will announce next week whether AWB Limited will be stripped of its monopoly over the country's wheat exports. Earlier this week, a special inquiry of AWB Limited revealed that the company might have broken local criminal and corporate laws by making almost $222 million in payments to the Iraqi regime in breach of United Nations sanctions. USDA lawyer Mark Hesselman says the U.S. will seek to disbar AWB.
The government can choose who it does business with, and the government usually chooses to do business with people whom it thinks are trustworthy, who are not going to commit fraud involving federal dollars.
AWB officials will have 30 days to respond to a USDA notice of disbarment, and Kesselman says a World Trade Organization complaint is not out of the question.
The Office of the United States Trade Representative will take the lead on those questions. That said, we here at the Department of Agriculture care deeply about making sure that that there aren't distortions. And so we will review the inquiry. We will work very closely through the interagency process with the Trade Representative, the Department of Justice, and provide all of the research that we can do to help the administration come to an informed judgment.
Earlier today, Howard said something must replace the status quo, but the Australian government has indicated it's unlikely to abolish the single-desk wheat export system. Meanwhile, U.S. wheat farmers are planning to sue AWB Limited over its kickbacks to Iraq under federal RICO Act standards. The suit would seek to compensate U.S. wheat farmers for their loss of business. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist has passed the word to incoming Majority Leader Harry Reid the lame duck session will pass only a stopgap spending bill. That bill will last at least through January and will move ag disaster assistance to the new Congress. Add USDA Secretary Mike Johanns to the growing list of those frustrated that South Korea rejected the first U.S. shipment of beef in 3 years over a 10-millimeter bone shard.
I've got a company, a very good company, I might add, who has gone to the expense of shipping product over there with a promise that the market is open, only to find out that the market isn't even close to open, that they have applied a standard we did not agree to. It was a standard that they invented along the way.
South Korea's border was closed to U.S. beef from December of 2003 till this past September, when it reopened it under stringent measures, including zero tolerance on bone chips. Vietnam's legislature has ratified the country's entry into the World Trade Organization. That paves the way for the communist nation to become the global trade body's 150th member. Vietnam's membership will take effect on December 28th and opens the gates to increased foreign investment and trade in Southeast Asia's fastest-growing economy. In its WTO negotiations, Vietnam agreed to lower many tariffs and open previously protected economic sectors to foreign investors, such as banking, financial services, and telecommunications. President Bush has nominated Mark Keenum to replace J.B. Penn as the next Undersecretary for Farm and Foreign Agricultural Services. Senate hearings are scheduled next week. Keenum is a longtime aide to Senate Appropriations Committee Chairman Thad Cochran. The American Farm Bureau Federation is recommending regular inspections of groundwater wells. John Miller reports.
Nearly half the nation and 90% of the nation's rural residents get their drinking water from groundwater supplies. The American Farm Bureau's Cindy Sirica says that's why.
The American Farm Bureau Federation has joined with the National Groundwater Association to spread the word about groundwater, well maintenance, water testing, conservation, and a host of other issues.
The two groups are recommending an annual well maintenance and water safety checkup.
The annual well checkup is important. You need to know if your well is working properly, and you also need to test your water annually to make sure that it is safe.
As urban areas spread, water quality and conservation are going to become bigger issues. That's why rural residents like farmers and ranchers are asked to think about their water now.
It seems that it's sort of out of sight, out of mind, and a lot of people have never done any well maintenance. They've never checked the water quality, and the initiative is initially trying to get people to just think about it, to start the process. And think of it as like any other piece of equipment. It needs regular maintenance in order to keep running properly.
For more information, you can check the website at www.welloowner.org. Jonna Miller, Washington.
A delegation of about 10 U.S. Agricultural Committee members is traveling to Brazil for meetings dealing with farm trade. Outgoing Ag Chairman Bob Goodlatte is leading the group. A specific focus of the trip is expanding U.S. agricultural exports. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
WILO programming is made possible by Bevere Cafe on the U of I campus, offering continental breakfast and lunches Monday through Friday. Bevere Cafe is student-operated and Wi-Fi accessible on the second floor of Bevere Hall, corner of Gregory and Goodwin, Urbana. Information on box lunches and catering for the holidays is available at 244-2233.
Illinois has a plan for wind energy. As Todd Gleason reports, there are already operating wind farms in the state, and they can be a moneymaker for farmers.
This is the Mendota Hills Wind Farm in Lee County, Illinois. There are 63 turbines here. They make little whoosh as nature blows through them. They've been in place since about November of 2003 and can provide enough energy to power 15,000 homes. Illinois, like 18 other states and the District of Columbia, has a plan for wind energy and other renewable sources to feed the electrical grid. It's called the Renewable Portfolio Standard, otherwise known as the RPS, says University of Illinois Extension agricultural engineer Ted Funk.
Illinois has now become the 20th state in the country to adopt what they call a renewable portfolio standard, which is sort of a game plan for getting a certain percentage of the total energy generation done by renewable energy.
Well, the Illinois plan calls for 2% of the state's electrical needs to be generated from renewable sources in 2006. That ramps up to 8% by 2013. It requires 3/4 of this renewable energy come from wind power. And that's a good idea for the state.
Well, it's a combination, but if you look at the total wind energy availability around the country, Illinois ranks actually number 16 of the 50 states. It's actually above California. And many times people think about California as having all the wind turbines, but we actually have more potential to get energy out of wind than California does.
It should be good for Illinois landowners, too. The governor projects a single wind turbine placed on a farm can generate rental income of $3,000 to $5,000 annually. And farmers can still raise crops and livestock around that turbine. And then there are the tax benefits for the county. For example, it's estimated the Crescent Ridge Wind Farm Project will become one of the top five property taxpayers in Bureau County, Illinois. These taxes will be in addition to taxes paid by the participating landowners. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Dave.
First day delivery tomorrow. How is that going to play out?
I thought sure that we would see this market much lower today. I really did, because sometimes the end of the month can really mean some position squaring and deliveries. But for every time we sell this market off, there's some new money waiting to get in. So we had a big rally there towards the end of the session, and there was some avid buying going on from my observation anyway. So I wouldn't be that afraid of the opening in the morning, let's put it that way.
Farmers selling slow?
Yeah, you know, you hate to use this word, but there's kind of a sense of complacency, I think, setting in. I think most of them are pretty comfortable with what they have got booked. They're still looking out now to new crop value, so they're doing a little bit out there. But basically, I think they're just kind of taking a wait-and-see attitude, as were before we thought this market might really sell off. It looks like we could see a 20 or 30-cent setback, but to see corn get below $3 probably won't happen. So for right now, they're just kind of taking a wait-and-see attitude, Dave.
Are producers right that basis levels then might remain firm as end users need to maintain steady supplies?
I felt that basis values would probably continue to stay firm or get better, but we're trying to change train values from the December to the March, and sometimes you see a little skewing of the basis when that happens. Plus the fact I read today where they're starting to pick up a lot of these ground piles. So maybe the basis may not stay as firm as I had thought into the next two or three weeks. We'll just have to wait and see how this plays out.
How full is the pipeline, and when might it become a little bit on the empty side?
Well, as far as we're concerned, I mean, our unloads have really drastically fallen off, so the pipeline is empty here. But here again, we don't have any ground piles, but a lot of these elevators that do, they're going to be wanting to pick it up and get it moving. So since this is just now starting to happen, and here again, we're transitioning from the December to the March as far as basis levels, so we'll just kind of have to wait and see how it shapes up. But for right now, we're just a little bit weaker for train values for December.
Did producers call at all with concern about how futures started the day? I know they finished pretty well.
No, they really didn't. Like I say, they just are pretty comfortable with things, and they know that we're going to see a lot of this. And usually when we're taking protection, they come out of the woodwork, you know, and they always want to sell on a down market. That's not happening. I think that they're busy trying to get things cleaned up, do their field work or whatever. So really and truthfully, the phones have kind of quieted down here this week.
Your bids today?
All right, our cash corn today is 362, beans are 650, and new crop wheat is 419.
Thank you, Kay.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. And in about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. A federal appeals court says George Ryan may remain out of prison while it considers his appeal on racketeering and fraud charges. But the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals says if it decides to uphold the former governor's conviction, he must go to prison immediately. This means a setback for prosecutors who had argued that Ryan should start serving his 6.5-year sentence on January 4th.
but his lawyers say the jury deliberations were flawed. Two of the jurors were dismissed and replaced with alternates because of police records. Meanwhile, a University of Illinois law professor says he's not surprised with the ruling. Andrew Leopold says while it's unusual for a court to grant bail pending an appeal, problems with the jurors merit an exception in the Ryan case. Leopold says the standard on an appeal for getting released on bail is whether or not it raises a question of law that's likely to result in an order for a new trial. He says today's decision doesn't mean Ryan will necessarily get a new trial, but adds the processing of court papers could keep Ryan out of prison for a while. Illinois lawmakers are considering a measure that would let counties have the power to raise cigarette taxes. The $2 increase would go towards public health and safety measures. The tax increase passed the House today and now heads to the Senate. Right now, only a few counties have the power to raise that tax. Our opponents argue the hike would eat into state revenue from cigarette taxes. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels wants to spend over $1 billion over the next 10 years to hire a private company to take over much of Indiana's food stamp, Medicaid, and welfare programs. That change would affect about 1 million children and needy elderly and disabled who receive benefits. The governor says the state would retain control over deciding who is eligible for the programs. Under the plan, IBM also would create 1,000 new jobs in Indiana over 4 years. Famed pastor and best-selling author Rick Warren is defending his invitation to Senator Barack Obama to speak at his church. Some evangelists disagree with the Illinois senator's support of abortion rights. Obama is one of nearly 60 speakers scheduled to address the second annual Global Summit on AIDS in Lake Forest, California. Obama plans to take an HIV test during his appearance Friday and encourages others to do the same. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, can weather be any more perfect down in South America?
No, you know, I don't think it could be. There's a couple of pockets out there that are in need of some significant precipitation, but they've already received some of that, and the percentage of crop country that's running a little dry is probably less than 15% right now. Santiago del Estero in Argentina, which is one of the northwesternmost grain and oilseed producing provinces in that country, is one of the drier areas. And we've got a few pockets right now in parts of western Sao Paulo, southeastern Mato Grosso do Sul, and southwestern Mato Grosso in Brazil that are still running a little dry, but they are much improved over what they were a week ago. And it looks like timely rains will continue in both countries. So I certainly cannot find any reason to fault this crop right now.
Argentina grand, too, I guess.
Absolutely. Argentina is also expected to see some timely precipitation occur for a while. Certainly the opportunity for temperatures to be fairly close to normal is also very good. I don't see any big ridges of high pressure coming on anytime soon, and so the bottom line is the same. It's going to continue very good out there.
I guess the southern hemisphere is in line for rain just about everywhere. It looks like in South Africa, they might see some scattered showers.
Yeah, in South Africa, the situation there is not quite as good. They have a lot more pockets of dryness scattered about, and there's actually a very strong correlation between El Nino and drier-than-usual weather in South Africa. So even though they're getting by all right now, I don't want to mislead anybody into thinking it's going to be a perfect year there, because I fully expect to see dryness become more of an issue as we go deeper into their summer season. The main thing to keep in mind with South Africa is that they have increased the area planted to corn this year, and that will help to counter some of the potential losses that might come if we do end up with a drought in that part of the world. So that might help to minimize some of the impact. But you know as well as I do, the world market on corn will still react if they have a smaller crop, even with a greater planted area.
Here's a sentence that I haven't said in a while. Australia may see some rain.
That's exactly right. Australia has certainly been at an extreme this year. There's no two ways about it. The precipitation actually began yesterday in Western Australia. There was actually a little bit of rainfall there in some of the wheat and barley country. It did interfere with some of the harvesting. It was a one-day event, though. and it has faded away and will continue to fade further as we go through the next few days. In eastern portions of the country, though, they do produce a fair amount of sorghum and also a small cotton crop, and both of those production areas are critically dry, as is the rest of the country, of course. But the next few days, we're going to see an increase in instability there, and thunderstorms are going to start popping up, but they're going to be highly variable. They are still in the middle of a drought, and pockets of moisture in the atmosphere are rather limited. So a few areas may get some locally heavy rainfall. The majority of the region probably won't see any big relieving rains. But if you're one of those farmers there who gets that rain, they'll certainly be out celebrating.
Let's turn our attention to the Midwest and Plains, where I guess a one-word forecast might be brr.
That's right. Definitely cold out there in the plains. This is our first significant surge of bitter cold conditions this year. It is having a big impact on livestock across the plains. It has raised some concern in the marketplace about winter wheat conditions, but I really don't think this particular round of cold is going to be potent enough or last long enough to have any big negative impacts on that crop. It will certainly keep it or push it deeper into dormancy, and that's good because we do still have those moisture stress issues. The latest computer model data, though, has come out and suggested that better snowfall and greater rainfall may occur in a portion of the southern plains over the next 24 to 36 hours. This would include Oklahoma, southeastern Kansas, and maybe some parts of the eastern Texas panhandle. It's going to be pretty serious for livestock across the area. Cold rains, falling temperatures, increasing wind, and snowfall that could get up to about 8 inches in some locations across that region. So a bit of an issue there for both travel and livestock across the region. And all of that nastiness will move off to the northeast right across Missouri and into Illinois and ultimately into Michigan as we go Thursday into Friday.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a great afternoon.
Drew Lerner, senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's closing market report. Join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 Central Time for our first look at the markets. And don't forget, you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather on the website. Go to WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey.